are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. As the graphic here on YouTube tells you, please, please call me Sully. This episode is being brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify app and check out one of our Locked On rooms. This podcast is being dropped wherever you get your podcasts, both in podcatchers, whether you want to use the Odyssey app, all the other places you get your podcasts, and here on YouTube, for those of you watching me. And apparently some people wonder what I look like. I didn't realize that was a great mystery. But I've had a couple of people say, like, oh, now I know what you look like, Sully. I've not been Charlie from Charlie's Angels. I've been pretty much an open book. This is what I look like. Yep. Say what you want. That's what it is. Hey, this show is being dropped on the 10th day of September, 2021. I'm going to be answering a comment from the Apple Podcast page. I'm going to be pointing out the fact that we have anarchy in the American League in a very wonderful way. We would also have anarchy in the National League if they did my divisional realignment. And also, we are going to have a Subway Series that is, quite frankly, going to be unlike any Subway Series we've had in the regular season, possibly ever, at least between the Yankees and the Mets. This show is available on the free and easy use Odyssey app, and you can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, like Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen, or check out the fantastic podcast Locked On Yankees with Stacey Gutsulia. She's doing some great episodes, including one regarding Derek Jeter and his trip to the Hall of Fame. And you can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram with the handle Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And I also want to point that out. I am going to talk about the Hall of Fame induction and everything like that. We're going to be hopefully talking to some of the good folks from the Locked On Podcast Network to be guests on it. I tried to line it up for today's show. It didn't quite work, and I decided not to do that today. I'm going to do it over the weekend. So be sure to listen to Locked On MLB, where we are going to be talking about the induction of Derek Jeter and Larry Walker and Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller, four very deserving candidates. Marvin Miller was brought in posthumously. I hate posthumous elections to the Hall of Fame because these are people who should be celebrated when they're alive. And there was plenty of opportunity to put Marvin Miller in the Hall of Fame before he was dead. That being said, Marvin Miller didn't seem to want to be in the Hall of Fame, even though his thumbprint on the game is undeniable. But hey, we'll talk about that later. We'll also bring up the greatness of Jeter, and he was great. I'm no Yankee fan by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a great player. Maybe a top five Yankee when you really get down to it. And you think about, obviously, your top two are etched in stone, Ruth and Gehrig. But then you have the arguments you can be made for Mantle. You can make the arguments for DiMaggio. You can make the arguments for Jeter. You can make the arguments for Barra. You can make the arguments for Whitey Ford. You can make the arguments for Rivera. You can make the arguments for who else are you going to make the arguments for? I said Mantle already. Ken Phelps. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to talk about that. And Larry Walker, whose election to the Hall of Fame, great player, the first Canadian position player to be elected to the Hall of Fame. He joins Ferguson Jenkins as the second Canadian-born player to be elected to the Hall of Fame. The first member of the Colorado Rockies to ever be elected to the Hall of Fame, even someone who played an hour for the Rockies. He was the first one ever. So finally, the Rockies have representation in the Hall of Fame. And it's good that for someone who is a beloved Rocky, but man, oh man, just thinking about what could have been with the 1994 Montreal Expos, which he was part of that team. And now that team has two Hall of Famers, Larry Walker and my all-time favorite player, Pedro Martinez. What could have been, what could have been. But hey, what did happen is I did get a comment, and I've been reading some of the comments. Like, I'm obviously, I've had someone call me an a-hole because I had the audacity not to be in love with the Miami Marlins. But cooler heads prevailed, and we got to know that there are Marlin fans not only in Miami but in Hamburg. Well, this is from the Dabbing Ender, who is a fan of the show, and I've talked about him before. He's a big Houston Astros fan. And for those of you who've been following this podcast, and I know I have been, you know that Houston Astros fans don't tend to like your pal Sully, because I didn't let them off the hook for the trash can scandal. I also don't let the Red Sox off the hook for 2018. I just think that there's Astros fans tend to have a little bit of a martyr complex when it comes to why don't you love our team and everything like that. And they kind of want to have it both ways, which I call them out on. They don't like that. And there you go. Well, the Dabbing Ender wrote this. This was his comment that he wrote on Apple Podcasts. Hello, Sully. Remember me? I'm the scary Houston fan. How could I forget you? The last time you mentioned me, the Astros began a slump of epic proportions, perhaps. And of all my least favorite teams, Yankees, we have been kind of good. Well, not recently. So I'm going to ask you a favor. Could you answer me this question? What are your thoughts on said slump? And I completely agree with you when you say that the scandalous proportion was a humor scandal. And I've been consistent on that. One of the reasons why I've liked talking about the Houston Astros trash can scandal is the fact that it's a fun scandal. It's not about violence. It's not about injecting chemicals into your body. It's not about coercive control or any other sort of terrible thing. It's not about drunk driving. It's not about abuse. It's about banging a trash can to win a game. And that's funny. It is. And it's a fun scandal to have. It was a humor scandal. Hopefully, if you do answer the question, the opposite will happen and the Astros will finish strong. Hopefully, they won't let Seattle catch them. Gasp. Here's why I don't think Houston Astros fans should panic at all. Yes, the Astros ran up a nice big fat lead when the A's came to within a game and a half of the Houston Astros. The Astros put on their aft thrusters. Hell, you can even make an analogy that they were like a rocket ship, like an astronaut. And they shot ahead and padded their lead to 6.5 games. Well, in the last 10 games, they've been thoroughly mediocre. They haven't been terrible, but they've been thoroughly mediocre. The problem for the rest of the American League West has been the A's did not take advantage of that as their bullpen fell apart. Granted, they won this series against the Chicago White Sox. I'll get to that in a little bit. But in that recent slump, the 6.5 game lead has withered all the way to 5.5 games. Yes, one game. They've lost one game in this slump. And so in some ways, it's like, how do I say this delicately? You can't be too angry that you've dropped one game in the standings when they've played, you know, pretty mediocre baseball. Plus, the Astros have found ways to win some games even when they were playing in a mediocre manner. That game against Seattle a couple of days ago where Bregman hit the game-tying home run in the ninth inning, the Mariners outplayed the Astros that whole game, and the Astros still won. So that's going to happen with teams that are playoff-bound. They're going to win some games they have no business winning. And they're going to lose some games because there are some holes on this team. The Astros are not the strong team as they were when they were banging the trash cans. But I give the Astros a ton of credit that their starting pitching has taken them a heck of a lot further. And I said heck because I do not want an explicit rating on this podcast. But they've gone a heck of a lot further with a starting rotation that I did not think was going to be very strong. They're 5.5 games up on the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners with 23 games to play. Now, that's not an impossible task for the A's to catch up with them, especially when you consider the A's have 6 more games left with the Astros. But it's a very tall order. The A's would have to play like, Brad Pitt is avoiding watching them, and Chris Pratt is taking ball 4 as Scott Hatterberg. Okay, I got kind of deep in that Moneyball reference, but you understand what I'm saying. They're going to have to play on that level of winning streak as they had in 2002 as portrayed in the film Moneyball, in order to make a realistic run at closing 5.5 games in a 23-game stretch. All the Astros have to do is be okay. And even in this recent slump, they've been, not great, but not horrific. Look, it's a very tall order to see a 5.5 game lead evaporate. Now, it's happened before, but the fact that we remember the times that happened before, kind of like the Red Sox in 2011, like the Mets in 2007, one of the reasons we remember that is because it's so rare. It's a rare situation to see that happen. So, Astros fans, I think the offense is too good to see them fall apart. They will outslug a few teams. Now, I will say that some of the acquisitions they made, the Graveman acquisition from Seattle, it's looking like the Mariners may have won that trade. Graveman's been only okay since coming over from Seattle, and Toro has been very, very good as a Mariner. Yimi Garcia has not been very good at all. So some of the moves they made to solidify their bullpen have not worked out that well. Plus, Zach Greinke is currently on the injured list. So there's a possibility that that lead could be whittled down a game here or a game there. But the problem is the fact we've only got three weeks left of regular season baseball. And that's the key. To be able to lose that big a lead in 3 weeks is going to require a faceplant of monumental proportions. And quite frankly, I don't see this Houston team being that team to faceplant like that. And I don't see the A's being the team to catch them up. Did that sentence make sense? Maybe not. Same with Seattle, who are currently tied with the A's. And let's also give credit to someone else who doesn't get the credit he usually gets or deserves. He didn't get the credit he deserves. Easy for you to say. Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker brings his teams to the playoffs. That's what he does. He did that in San Francisco. He did that in Chicago. He did that in Cincinnati. He did that in Washington. And he's doing it in Houston. Now, what he does in the playoffs sometimes makes you shake your head. But the fact of the matter is, Dusty Baker, as a regular season manager, is almost without peer. To be able to jump from team to team, yes, he inherited a tremendous team in Houston. And yes, he inherited a playoff team in Washington. But that doesn't matter all the time. He inherited an Astros team under a huge microscope, and not all that was good. And he inherited a Washington National team that was mismanaged by Matt Williams, his former player. And he turned around the Giants, he turned around the Cubs, and he turned around Cincinnati. So maybe we should start giving Dusty a little bit of credit. That his teams don't flop down the stretch. And no, the San Francisco Giants didn't flop down the stretch in 1993. They won 103 ball games that year. Okay? They didn't choke down the stretch. In fact, they played winning baseball down the stretch. It's just the Atlanta Braves played like 700, 800 ball. And they shouldn't have been in the same division anyway. I digress. Don't worry. Astros are making the playoffs. I don't think they're the favorite, but do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me to see them go far, especially if Greinke is healthy. And their starting rotation has been a heck of a lot better than I thought they'd be. Their lineup is fantastic. And I think they're as good a team as the White Sox and of the scrum that is happening in the American League wildcard, which we're going to be talking about in the next segment. I don't think they're better than Tampa Bay, but, you know, what are you going to do? And I think that we should all just relax, sit back, and maybe, I don't know, grab yourself a Built Bar. Because you know what? Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there. They got so many great flavors. Let's run them down. You know what they are. German chocolate, cookies and cream, salted caramel, orange, strawberry, double chocolate, mint chocolate, cherry barcia, mint brownie, coconut, and my favorite, which is raspberry. Love that tanginess with the chocolate. It's a great, great combination. But do you know what is also a great combination? The fact that Built Bars are not only delicious, they're also healthy for you too. They get 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories range from 130 to 180. 4 grams of sugar. 4 or 5 grams net carb, all tasty, all healthy. If you act now, you can get the grasshopper cookie or the raspberry cookie, whatever one you want. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which I think is really cool. Here's what you do. You go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and you can get 15% off your order at built.com. All right, now bear with me here. Slow. I'm going to take this read slow. Slow is great if you're on vacation, if you're a sloth, or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books, am I right? It sucks you in, it draws you down with manual process, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you the visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And I don't know what to say about that 7%. Right now, Special Financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockdown right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/lockdown. netsuite.com/lockdown. Hey, I really, did I mention really wish that Major League Baseball got away with divisions? I really do, because we could have a potentially equitable system going on in the National League right now. Sorry, I just bumped my computer right there. But you could have seen, if we did what I want to do, which is you keep the same number of teams that make the postseason. You have the top three teams in the league, and then you have a playing game for the fourth and fifth one. So there's a, basically you're rewarding the three best teams in the league, and you have a one-game playoff in there. Now, as it stands right now, as I'm recording this, the National League pennant situation includes the Giants, who have won 90 games. And I, again, I need to be a broken record here, but if I had surveyed 1 million Giant fans going into this season saying, would you be content with a 90-win season? They would have all been okay with it. Well, guess what? They've accomplished that before the 10th day of September. But we also see the Dodgers have won 88 games, and they're also a cinch to win 100 games. But the Dodgers could potentially see their 100-win season torpedoed if they happen to lose a one-game playoff to the team they'd be playing right now, would be San Diego. Under my way, you would have the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Giants would be the automatic bids. They would be automatically in the division series. As it would be right now, the Dodgers would play the Brewers, while the Giants would play the winner of a one-game playoff. Now, right now, the one-game playoff would be between the San Diego Padres and the Atlanta Braves, because they have identical records. But the Reds would only be one game back of them, and the Cardinals would be only three games back of them. So that, to me, makes more sense. The Braves and the Padres should be the team fighting it out, that one-game playoff, and having the Reds and the Cardinals on their tail, instead of Atlanta getting an automatic bid and the Dodgers having to play for their life. Now, yes, that makes a premium winning the division. I just don't see the advantage of that. I think baseball is better if they had matchups in the postseason of the best teams. And you know what? If no team from the East, Central, or West make it to the postseason, then so be it. That puts a premium on trying to put together a quality team. The Atlanta Braves won tonight, and do you know what? It's looking more and more like they're going to win the division. You know, a couple of days ago, it looked like everyone and their moose was making a charge at them. But the Colorado Rockies played spoiler against the Philadelphia Phillies. The Mets lost two brutal games to the Miami Marlins, including one today where they had a lead late, and then Jazz Chisholm hit a home run, and then the Miami wins again. And suddenly the Mets are sub 500, five games out in the middle of September. We'll get to the Mets in a second. The Phillies look like they were ready to pass them. Next thing you know, they went from 1.5 games back to 3.5 games back in just 2 days. Now's the wrong time to be going on a three-game losing streak. I mean, it's never a good time to go on a three-game losing streak, but when you have so few games, you want to be able to make some of that up. They're four back in the loss column with only 20-some-odd games left to play. That's tough. That's really tough. And so the Braves look like they're going to win that division. And they are going to get a nice, cushy, they'll probably wind up playing the Milwaukee Brewers. And who knows, they could clobber them, or they could win that. Meanwhile, well, something glorious happened today. And this isn't just me being someone who grew up disliking the New York Yankees. The Yankees lost again. It was a four-game sweep at home in the hands of the Toronto Blue Jays, who are playing like a team possessed. Meanwhile, the Oakland A's wound up winning a game against the Chicago White Sox. And one of the things I liked about how the Blue Jays and the A's won their games today is they won with really aggressive base running. There was a lot of stuff going, people going first to third. Both teams were really dynamic. And I sat back there, man, an A's-Blue Jays wildcard game would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? That'd be a lot of fun. I know I'm supposed to say I want Red Sox Yankees, okay? But part of me, just the baseball fan, would think that Blue Jays A's would be more fun. And then, of course, I've adopted the Mariners recently, and so they haven't made the playoffs since 2001. So, of course, that would be fun too. But here's the deal. With that loss by the Yankees at home to the rampaging Toronto Blue Jays, and with Oakland's victory against the Chicago White Sox, you saw that you now have Boston, the Yankees, and Toronto are all tied in the loss column. And Oakland and Seattle are two games back of the loss column. So you have five teams separated by two games with only 20-some-odd games left to play. This is what I predicted in many ways was going to happen in the American League, that you're going to have a log jam, that there is no favored team. Now, I have to put a little amendment on that because I did not foresee the fact that the Tampa Bay Rays were going to be kind of heads and shoulders better than everyone else in the American League, at least in the regular season. I thought, especially after the loss of Tyler Glasnow, now that they weren't going to be able to be a dominant team, that they would be in the scrum too. But they've all but clinched the American League East. Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, stop talking about the division. But those three teams, Yankees, Red Sox, and the Jays, are currently essentially tied. And the A's and the Mariners are right on their heels. Now we're going into a weekend. Yeah, I'm going to go in. Obviously, there's the big game between the Mets and the Yankees that I will talk about in the final segment. When you take a look at some of the matchups that are happening, the Blue Jays are going to hand the ball to their best pitcher, Robbie Ray, and he is going to be pitching against the Baltimore Orioles. Now, we've made it clear that any team could beat any team once or twice. We saw the Orioles beat the Yankees a couple times in Yankee Stadium. But the Blue Jays are on a roll, on a big-time roll. And they're better than the Orioles. And Robbie Ray is quietly putting together if he's not a Cy Young winner, certainly a top five Cy Young contender. All right, you got to give the Blue Jays the edge there. Meanwhile, the Rays are going to be playing the Detroit Tigers. Again, the Rays are going to try to pad their lead and make this a formality. While the Jays are going to be taking it on Baltimore, we're going to have an all Sox series, the Red Sox and the White Sox. And the White Sox it's funny that they have the aura of being a better team because they're in such control of the division. The fact of the matter is the White Sox and the Red Sox have the same number of wins. And the Red Sox are only two games back at the loss column of the Chicago White Sox. Again, eliminating divisions, suddenly the scrum would be even stronger at this point. The White Sox would be playing for their life. But there's something about a team that is basically working to put together the playoff team that they know they're already in, which is currently the situation the Chicago White Sox are in right now. And so we're going to see the Red Sox having, let's be honest, maybe a tough time of it, taking on a very good Chicago White Sox team. Meanwhile, the Seattle Mariners are going to be playing the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Oakland A's are going to be playing the Texas Rangers. The point I'm making is the three teams that are in hot pursuit of the Red Sox and Yankees to take over the wildcard spot are playing three of the worst teams in baseball: the Diamondbacks, the Rangers, and the Orioles. Now, again, any team can win. And I'm sure the Diamondbacks and the Rangers and the Orioles, who have all won upset series against teams recently, don't want to hear that they're pushovers. Don't want to hear that they're going to be just clobbered. But they're playing against teams that suddenly are looking up and seeing that they are potentially playing for a playoff life and along the way could leapfrog and upset the two behemoths, at least in terms of budget, being the Red Sox and the Yankees. There's a ton of motivation going on for the likes of the Seattle Mariners, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Oakland A's to stick it to those other teams and to erase some of the recent slumps. Remember, the Blue Jays had a rough patch of it in August. The A's went on a patch where not one single lead was safe. And the Mariners have been up and down all season. And that can all be erased if they beat the teams they're supposed to beat and look up and see the Red Sox, who have been the epitome of up and down, and the completely unpredictable Yankees, who sometimes look like they're going to ease on to a World Series title and sometimes look like they can't get out of their own way. Either way, here we are. We're going to see a tremendous weekend of baseball, and we're going to see that there is no surefire bet of who is going to be playing in the American League playoffs. And if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online. It is the number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. And you know, it's that time of year again. Maybe not for me, because I'm always watching baseball. A lot of people's eyes are turning to football. And as the gridiron season is starting, you better go to Bet Online. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the online's biggest $500,000 mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest, open now at Bet Online. Head to the website or use our mobile device to sign up today to receive our 100% welcome bonus. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, baseball, basketball, hockey, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. And hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another one that lets you stream all your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. You've got your neighbors log in for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you, there's a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, documentaries, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no more buying devices. You don't have to buy another device ever again. The best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right. Now, the Yankees lost a game to the Blue Jays today, one where Bo Bichette got a big home run to lead off the game, drove in another key run. Vladdy Jr. hit another home run, drove his 100th run. And it was just the end of a series where the Yankees' bats are dead. If it wasn't for the Rizzo home run and the Gardner home run the day before, like they just didn't score any runs at any key time. They hit a couple of garbage time home runs in the ninth, but it was one of those where the pitcher was just chucking down the middle of the plate. Here, I don't care if you hit a home run, we're up by four. Which is exactly what happened. They hit two home runs, and then the game was over. There you go, boom. So with this, the Yankees are now only half a game ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays. And a couple of weeks ago, it looked like the Yankees had secured the first wildcard spot, and some were even wondering whether or not they could make a run at Tampa Bay. And now their very playoff existence is hanging by a precarious thread. And there's an interesting stat I want to bring up, starting with the Field of Dreams game, which of course ended on the dramatic walk-off home run in the corn. The Yankees' record has been 15-10. And that's good. In 25-game stretch, they're 15-10. That is the same record in that same stretch as the Toronto Blue Jays. And at the same time, the Tampa Bay Rays have been 18-7. Now, the interesting thing, however, about the Yankees' 15-10 stretch since the Field of Dreams game is that includes the 13-game winning streak. 13-game winning streak is folded into that because that winning streak began the day after the Field of Dreams, or the game after, because there was actually an off day the next day. They played the Field of Dreams game on a Thursday. They had Friday off, and then they won the dramatic extra inning game in Chicago, and they won the two games in Chicago. And they won 13 in a row, and suddenly everything was clicking. And so keep in mind what that means. In a 25-game stretch, they won 13 games in a row at one point, and now they have gone, say it with me, 2-10. They've almost negated the winning streak. The Rays have outplayed them in the stretch that included a 13-game winning streak, and the Jays are dead even with them. And suddenly, as I said before, the Yankees have gone from thinking about maybe winning a division title to playing for their very baseball lives. Now, let's take a quick look at the New York Metropolitans, who have fallen to a sub-500 team at this point. And the interesting thing about the Mets is, as recently as August 6th, on August 6th, a little more than a month ago, the Mets were in first place. In a little over a month, they have gone from first place to, are they even going to have a winning season? Now, because it is the National League East, the division is not totally out of reach. They have to continue to win games at a super high clip, and they have the pitching to do it. And Pete Alonso and company can get the hit from time to time. The Yankees have very good starting pitching. I'm stunned by how good their starting pitching has been. Although losing Gerrit Cole, even for a single start, could be precarious. Let's say they lose one start. Well, there's only 20-some-odd games left. If you lose them for a start, that could be a critical game you're going to lose them on. And you don't know how he's going to be at full strength. Gerrit Cole has been outstanding this year, but he's had a couple of rough starts, thinking about when he got bombed at Fenway Park. And so the Yankees and the Mets are facing off this weekend. Now, it's very good in one sense that they're facing each other because it is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and I'm not going to get into 9/11 right now. I actually don't like talking about 9/11, not because of any trauma or anything. I did live in New York City. I did volunteer the Red Cross and everything like that. I don't like to talk about it. It was very unpleasant, and it was very, I still get emotional. It's been 20 years, and I still get emotional even thinking about it. And how baseball responded to it, I think, was one of its greatest chapters. And having both the New York teams playing each other on September 11th, I think is great on the anniversary, because you don't have it overshadowing another team, and you also don't have the moment where, okay, when will the Mets be honored, when will the Yankees be honored, da-da-da-da-da. No, this is a good way to do it. But there's another reason why this is unlike any Subway Series, any regular season Subway Series ever between the Mets and the Yankees. Normally, these series are, in, you know, mid-season. Actually, if you're going to continue to have interleague play, I wish it was the fun sort of mid-season changeup that they used to have. I liked when it was, for the most part, a time where you were like, okay, for most of the year, we play American League teams or we play National League teams, but in the middle of the year, we'll mix it up with some interleague matchups to sort of break up the monotony. I don't like it so much when it's an everyday occurrence. But as it turns out, having these two teams play in mid-September, where it is, by all practicalities, the fall. Yes, I know summer doesn't start for another 10 days, but come on. Everyone's in school. Football's begun. It's September, mid-September. And the Yankees and Mets are playing for something. Both of them. And they both have a sense of desperation. It isn't just for some vague bragging rights or some other BS like that. They're both playing for their lives. They both need to win this series. They both need to win every game. Both teams should be thinking, we got to sweep this. The Mets have to sweep it if they want to stay alive. And it would behoove the Yankees, especially as I just pointed out in the last segment, that the A's, Blue Jays, and Mariners are playing tomato cans. And the Mets are not tomato cans. Even if they have a losing record, they're a talented team. There's talent on that squad. They're in first place just a month and a week ago. And we've never seen a regular season matchup between the Yankees and the Mets where there's so much on the line for both teams and so little time after it. You know, Yankee-Mets series can sometimes be manufactured drama. And there have been some great games in between, and of course there's some amazing moments in probably most memorably, Luis Castillo dropping that foul pop, and the Mets went from thinking they were going to win the game to when suddenly they lost the game. There have been some great Mets wins, there's some great Yankee wins, blah, 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 blah. We've never seen a matchup going into it with this much on the line. Let me tell you something, that's going to make for some really, really fun baseball watching this whole weekend. And you know what? I'm all over it, and I can't wait to talk about it, and I can't wait to review it, and we're going to record some podcasts over this weekend, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame induction, and we're going to talk about what happened, because I don't know what happened, neither do you, unless you're a time traveler, and if you are, send us a note at Lockdown MLB Pods, or you can send me a note if you're a time traveler at Twitter at Sully Baseball is my handle, or on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast, or you can leave a message on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave a message, especially if you are a time traveler and bend the rules of space and time, because then you can tell me stuff and I can pull a Biff Tannen and head right over to Bet Online and boom, we're all in big time. In fact, if you do have that ability, then you may enjoy the Locked On Bets podcast, because betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, which is hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. You can follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. These are all good pieces of advice, especially if you're a time traveler with knowledge of the future. This has been Locked On MLB for the 10th day of September, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, please, please call me Sully.